Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, member my Ram Golder, and today we're Zichu Baba Basra, Daf Mem of the third parak, Cheska Zabatim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states, Kol Chazaka She'eni Matayna, any Chazaka without a claim explaining his ownership, Eino Chazaka, is not a valid Chazaka. The Mishnah illustrates, if the former owner asked the Machzik, what are you doing in my property? And he replied, Sholamar Li Adam Dab Ma'olam, because no one ever said anything to me, the Chazaka is invalid and he must leave. However, if he replied, Shemachartali, I'm here because you sold it to me, or Shenasatali Mamatana, because you gave it to me as a gift, or he says, your father sold it to me, or your father gifted it to me, it's a valid chazaka. The Mishnah concludes, V'habam mishum yerusha, one who comes into property through inheritance and used the property for 3 years, Eino Tzarech Taina, does not require a claim as to how his father came to own the land. Pointing him to, a flood destroyed the boundary between Rav Kahana's property and his neighbor's, and he mistakenly rebuilt the fence inside his neighbor's property. Two witnesses testified before Rav Yehuda, one saying he had annexed 2 rows of the neighbor's land, and the other saying he annexed 3 rows. Rav Yehuda told Rav Kahana to return 2 rows of land, since both Edim agreed on that amount. Rav Kahana protested that this ruling followed the minority opinion of Rav Shimon Elazar that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree regarding contradictory testimony of 2 pairs of witnesses, one testifying the defendant owes 100 zuz, and the other saying he owes 200. Sheyesh b'kol masai mana, that included in testimony about 200 is testimony about 100, and he can collect that amount which all witnesses agreed on. He said they argued only about a single pair of conflicting witnesses, where Beis Shammai say nechukla edus, and their testimony is divided, meaning contradictory and invalid, and Beis Hillel says the testimony is accepted regarding the agreed amount. Rav Kahana protested that he would bring a letter from Eretz Yisrael that the halacha does not follow Rabbi Shimon Elazar, and all agreed that a single pair of contradictory witnesses is invalid. Rav Yehuda responded that when he produces such a letter, he would retract. And pointing with, a person lived in an upper story in Kashtim for 4 years, and when the first owner challenged him, he responded, I bought it from Pony who, I thought, bought it from you. Rabbi Chiya told the Machzik, if you have Edim who can testify, the dar ba'ihu dezavta mine afil chad yoma, that the person from whom you bought it lived there, even for 1 day, I will award you the property, but not without such edus. Since the Machzik has no proof or personal knowledge that a seller owned the property, his chazak is considered without a valid claim. After providing some support indicating that the seller owned it through testimony that he lived there even for a day, then Beis Din can claim on this buyer's behalf that the seller had bought it, like the case of inheritance in the Mishnah. Although Rav asked Rav Chiya that a man occasionally buys a property and sells it that night without ever living in it, Rav Chiya held some proof must be provided. Still, he held that if the Machzik said, he bought it from you in front of me, he is believed, since he could have claimed he bought the property himself from the owner. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the next Mishnah states, Kol Chazaka She'eni Matayna, any Chazaka without a claim explaining his ownership, Eino Chazaka, it's not a valid Chazaka. The Mishnah illustrates, if the former owner asked the Machzik, what are you doing in my property? And he replied, Sholamar Li Adam Dab Ma'olam, because no one ever said anything to me, the Chazaka is invalid and he must leave. However, if he replied, Shemachartali, I'm here because you sold it to me, or Shenasatali Mamatana, because you gave it to me as a gift, or he says, your father sold it to me, or your father gifted it to me, it's a valid Chazaka. The Mishnah concludes, V'habam Mishum Yerusha, one who comes into property through inheritance and used the property for 3 years, Eino Tzarech Taina, does not require a claim as to how his father came to own the land. Pointing him to, a flood destroyed the boundary between Rav Kahana's property and his neighbor's, and he mistakenly rebuilt the fence inside his neighbor's property. Two witnesses testified before Rav Yehuda, one saying he had annexed 2 rows of the neighbor's land, and the other saying he annexed 3 rows. Rav Yehuda told Rav Kahana to return 2 rows of land, since both Edim agreed on that amount. Rav Kahana protested that this ruling followed the minority opinion of Rav Shimon Elazar that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree regarding contradictory testimony of 2 pairs of witnesses, one testifying the defendant owes 100 zuz, and the other saying he owes 200. Sheyesh b'kol masai mana, that included in testimony about 200 is testimony about 100, and he can collect that amount which all witnesses agreed on. He said they argued only about a single pair of conflicting witnesses, where Beis Shammai say nechukla edus, and their testimony is divided, meaning contradictory and invalid, and Beis Hillel says the testimony is accepted regarding the agreed amount. Rav Kahana protested that he would bring a letter from Eretz Yisrael that the halacha does not follow Rav Shimon Elazar, and all agreed that a single pair of contradictory witnesses is invalid. Rav Yehuda responded that when he produces such a letter, he would retract. And pointing with, a person lived in an upper story in Kashtim for 4 years, and when the first owner challenged him, he responded, I bought it from Pony who, I thought, bought it from you. Rabbi Chiya told the Machzik, if you have Edim who can testify, the dar ba'ihu dezavta mine afil chad yoma, that the person from whom you bought it lived there, even for 1 day, I will award you the property, but not without such edus. Since the machzik has no proof or personal knowledge that a seller owned the property, his chazak is considered without a valid claim. After providing some support indicating that the seller owned it through testimony that he lived there even for a day, then Beis Din can claim on this buyer's behalf that the seller had bought it, like the case of inheritance in the Mishnah. Although Rav asked Rav Chiya that a man occasionally buys a property and sells it that night without ever living in it, Rav Chiya held some proof must be provided. Still, he held that if the machzik said, "He bought it from you in front of me," he is believed, since he could have claimed he bought the property himself from the owner. All right, so now we get our siman daf mem aleph, and our standard siman is a grandma. So here goes. It was a tough day for grandma when she had to tell a machzik to leave her property because his claim that no one ever said anything to me was invalid. While two conflicting edim testified that her neighbor mistakenly rebuilt his fence on either two or three rows of her property, and the man living in the upper story of one of her houses for 4 years was able to bring proof that the man he bought it from, who bought it from her, lived in the upper story for a day. Once again, slow motion. It was a tough day for grandma. Grandma, that must mean we're on daf mem aleph. It was a tough day for grandma when she had to tell a machzik to leave her property because his claim that no one ever said anything to me was invalid, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Kol chazak she'eni motayna, any chazak without a claim explaining his ownership, eino chazak, is not a valid chazak. The Mishnah illustrates, if the former owner asked the machzik, "What are you doing on my property?" and he replied, "Sho'amar li'adam davar ma'olam," because no one ever said anything to me, the chazak is invalid and he must leave. So, it was a tough day for grandma when she had to tell a machzik to leave her property because his claim that no one ever said anything to me was invalid. While two conflicting edim testified that her neighbor mistakenly rebuilt his fence on either two or three rows of her property, which reminds us, a flood destroyed the boundary between Rav Kahana's property and his neighbor's, and he mistakenly rebuilt the fence inside his neighbor's property. Two edim testified before Rav Yehuda, one saying he had annexed 2 rows of the neighbor's land, and the other saying he annexed 3 rows. Rav Yehuda told Rav Kahana to return 2 rows of land, since both witnesses agreed on that amount. Rav Kahana protested that this ruling followed the minority opinion of Rav Shimon ben Elazar that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree regarding contradictory testimony of 2 pairs of witnesses, one testifying the defendant owes 100 zuz and the other saying he owes 200. Sheish b'kol masai mana, that included in testimony about 200, is testimony about 100, and he can collect that amount, which all witnesses agreed on. So it was a tough day for grandma when she had to tell a machzik to leave her property because his claim that no one ever said anything to me was invalid. While two conflicting edim testified that her neighbor mistakenly rebuilt his fence on either 2 or 3 rows of her property, and the man living in the upper story of one of her houses for 4 years was able to bring proof that the man he bought it from, who bought it from her, lived in the upper story for a day, which reminds us, a person lived in an upper story in Kashta for 4 years, and when the first owner challenged him, he responded, "I bought it from Pony, who I thought bought it from you." Rabbi Chiya told the machzik, "If you have edim who can testify that the person from whom you bought it lived there even for a day, I will award you the property, but not without such testimony. Since the machzik has no proof or personal knowledge that a seller owned the property, his chazak is considered without a valid claim." So once again, it was a tough day for grandma when she had to tell a machzik to leave her property because his claim that no one ever said anything to me was invalid. While two conflicting edim testified that her neighbor mistakenly rebuilt his fence on either 2 or 3 rows of her property, and the man living in the upper story of one of her houses for 4 years was able to bring proof that the man he bought it from, who bought it from her, lived in the upper story for a day. All right, so now it's time for 4 Blah Bach Chazara. Daf Lamed Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Lamed Zayin is laser tag. So here goes. Team Chazaka was impossible to beat in laser tag. Laser tag? That must mean we're on Daf Lamed Zayin. Team Chazaka was impossible to beat in laser tag when they hid behind a different set of 10 trees in the same field each year, which reminds us, Abai said that we may derive the following ruling from Rabbi Shmuel. If a property had 30 trees planted at a rate of 10 trees per beisah, which is the appropriate spacing for an orchard, and the machzik harvested 10 different trees each year, he establishes a chazak on the entire field after 3 years. Rabbi Shmuel had ruled that if one harvested 3 different crops during a single year, he establishes a chazak on the entire field because harvesting one crop is considered a chazakah on all the crops. So, Team Chazaka was impossible to beat in laser tag when they hid behind a different set of 10 trees in the same field each year and zapped one opponent crouching behind a sold sign for trees and another behind a sold sign for the land, which reminds us, Amoraim discussed a case where one purchased trees of a field from someone and someone else purchased the field if the purchaser of the trees acquires part of the field. Razvid said, Zekhan Ilanas v'Zekhan Akarka, this one acquires only the trees and that one acquires the entire land. Rapapa said, Zekana Ilanas Vachazikarka, Zekana Chazikarka. This one acquires the trees and half the land, and that one acquires half the land. Rashbam explains, this means the tree purchaser acquires the amount of land normally acquired when buying trees. So Team Chazaka was impossible to beat in laser tag when they hid behind a different set of 10 trees in the same field each year and zapped one opponent crouching behind a sold sign for trees and another behind a sold sign for the land and snatched the trophy that was next to a tree that a seller kept for himself when he sold the field, which reminds the Gemara says, Macher Karka B'Shir Ilanos Lefanav, if one sold his land and explicitly retained his trees for himself, he retained some land around the trees. Daf Lamed Ches. So the simmer Daf Lamed Ches is a Daralach liquid, and we use chicken soup for the simmon. So here goes. The man enjoying a hearty bowl of chicken soup. Chicken soup. That must mean we're on Daf Lamed Ches. A Daralach liquid. Chicken soup. The man enjoying a hearty bowl of chicken soup as he tried to establish a chazaka on land in the Galil, where the original owner was in Yehuda, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Shalosh Ratzel Zal Chazaka, there are three lands in Eretz Yisrael regarding chazaka, Yehuda, Eretz Yarden, and the Galil. If the former owner was in Yehuda, and the occupant in the Galil, or the reverse, it's not a valid chazaka until the original owner is with him in the same province. Rav Yehuda disagrees and says that the entire reason a chazaka requires 3 years is so that if the former owner was as far as Spain, and someone occupies his field for 1 year, people can go notify him during the second year, and he can come protest in the third year. He holds a chazaka can be established immediately if the owner is local, but 3 years were instituted for an owner who is abroad. So the man enjoying a hearty bowl of chicken soup as he tried to establish a chazaka on land in the Galil, while the original owner was in Yehuda, after he fled because he had unpaid debts, which reminds us, Rav said, "Ein machzichin benichse boreach." One cannot establish a chazaka of a fugitive's property. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda that a chazaka is based on the owner returning and protesting, but this boreach cannot return, and he holds a macha shelo b'fanav is not a valid macha. Later, Rava rules, as the Gemara explains, that one can establish a chazaka against a boreach machmas mamun, one fleeing for monetary reasons, meaning unpaid debts, because he can protest from his distant location. However, one cannot establish a chazaka against a boreach machmas mardin, one fleeing because of murder, since he is afraid for his location to become known, because his victim's relatives may pursue him to take revenge, he cannot protest from his location. So, the man enjoying a hearty bowl of chicken soup as he tried to establish a chazaka on land in the Galil, while the original owner was in Yehuda, after he fled because he had unpaid debts, was approached by a man who related the original owner's macha, which he had heard from a friend of two lame people, who heard the macha directly, which reminds us, Rav taught an additional chiddush, that even if you protested in front of two people who cannot relate the protest to the occupant, meaning because they're lame, it's still a valid macha. The Gemara explains Rav's reasoning. Your friend has a friend, and your friend's friend has a friend. Although the two witnesses themselves cannot relate the macha personally to the occupant, word will spread through others until it reaches him. Daf Lamites, so the simmer Daf Lamites is a letter. So here goes. After the mocha wrote his macha in a letter, that must be on Daf Lamites. After the mocha wrote his mocha in a letter and sealed the envelope telling the edim not to show the machzik, but they can show others, which reminds us, Razvid said that a mocha must state, Polanya gazlano, who poloni is a robber, for he took my land in robbery, ulamachar tavanale bedina, and tomorrow I'll sue him in court. If the protester told the edim, Otemrule, do not tell the machzik that I protested, Razvid says the mocha is invalid since they were told not to tell him. Rapapa says that he meant, do not tell him himself, but you may tell others about it, and it will spread through the principle of Chavri Yisrael. So after the mocha wrote his mocha in a letter and sealed the envelope, telling the edim not to show the machzik, but they can show others, they showed it to three people because they learned in Shmiras HaLashon that that's the way to guarantee everyone will find out about it, which reminds us, Talmidim Rabbi Yochanan were asked how many people he required to witness the original mocha. Rechi Bar Abba quoted him requiring two edim, and Rabbi Yavo quoted him requiring three. The Gemara suggests they argue about Rabba Bar Avuna's principle, called Milsa de Misamra Ba'api Tlasa, anything which was said before three people. There's no prohibition of Lashon Hora to repeat it, since it's certain to become public knowledge. So after the mocha wrote his mocha in a letter and sealed the envelope, telling the edim not to show the machzik, but they can show others, they showed it to three people because they learned in Shmiras HaLashon that that's the way to guarantee everyone will find out about it, and told the mocha to be ready to send another one out in 3 years' time, which reminds us, Gila Bar Manyumi protested someone occupying his property before three Amoraim. He came the next year to protest again, but they told him it was unnecessary because Rav said, Kevin Shemichos Shana Rishona, once he protested the first year, Shuv Einot Tzarich Limchos, he no longer has to protest during those 3 years. Still, Bar Kabbara said, he must protest at the end of every 3 years, otherwise the machzik establishes a chazak because he can reasonably have lost his shtar since his possession went unchallenged for 3 years. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Daf Mem. So the Simmer Daf Mem relates to Maim, and we use a pool. So here goes. The Edim heard the owner of the pool. Pool? That must mean one of Daf Mem, Maim. The Edim heard the owner of the pool make mocha about the swimmers who were occupying his pool, who wrote a shtar without having to ask the owner, which reminds us, Rav quoted Rav Nachman saying, mocha bifnei shnayim, a protest must be made before two witnesses, and he does not need to tell them, write a shtar recording the mocha. Since recording the mocha only benefits him, they may write it on their own based on the principle of zaknu adam shul b'fanav. So the Edim who heard the owner of the pool make a mocha about the swimmers who were occupying his pool, who wrote a shtar without having to ask the owner, and the Edim who wrote Moda when they heard the lifeguard describe how he was being forced to sell his big red tube, which reminds us, Rabbi Rav Yosef said that a Moda is only written about Mande Lotzai's Dina, a coercer who does not listen to Basin's ruling. Otherwise, the Moda is disregarded because the purported victim should have summoned him to Basin. Abai and Rava said, Afil Alai V'Alecha, it's even written about people such as me or you because Basin may not have been available. So the Edim who heard the owner of the pool make a mocha about the swimmers who were occupying his pool, who wrote a shtar without having to ask the owner, and the Edim who wrote a Moda when they heard the lifeguard describe how he was being forced to sell his big red tube, didn't notice the Edim trying to hide behind the lifeguard chair to write a secret Shtar Matana, which reminds us, Reviewed said that a Matanta Tamirta, a secret gift document, meaning a document written secretly, cannot be used to collect the gift because we suspect the gift is not genuine. There are two versions of Rav Yosef explained the case as where he instructed the witnesses to write the Shtar in hiding, or where he did not instruct them to write it in public, the difference being if he said nothing. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which daf do you discuss if one can be machzik in nichse boreach, a fugitive's property? That's on daf. Amar Ches. Good. Number 2. Which daf do you discuss what the din is if one sold his field and retained the trees, or sold his trees and retained the land? That's on daf. Lamed Zayin. Good. Number 3. Which daf do you know that any chazak without a taina, a claim of ownership, is not a chazaka? That's on daf. Mem Aleph. Number 4. Which of the one, if an occupant consumed a field's produce, which was Orla Shemitah or Kalaim, he does not establish a chazaka? That's on daf. Lamed Vav. Number 5. Which daf do you discuss Matanta Tamirta, a secret gift document? That's on daf. Mem. Number 6. Which daf of a case where the mocha tells the Edim not to tell the machzik directly, but that they can tell others? That's on daf. Lamatask. Number 7. Which daf would be the case of the man in Kashta who lived in the upper story for 4 years and the proof that was required that the previous owner lived there for a day? That's on daf. Mamalov. Number 8. Which daf the one about establishing chazaka by consuming the produce from a third of the trees each year? That's on daf. Lamad Zayin. Number 9. Which daf do machlokes whether plowing establishes a chazaka? That's on daf. Lamed Vav. Number 10. Which daf be the case of two witnesses in conflict of how much land Rav Kahana mistakenly annexed from his neighbor's field when he rebuilt the fence? That's on daf. Mem Aleph. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.